Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. Thank you so much for listening tonight. We are going to talk about cracking the code. Could it really be that easy? Could there really be a code to help us figure this whole thing out? Could it all boil down to just a few steps? Sometimes life blindfolds you, spins you around, and hands you a bat. You spend your life whacking away just trying to make it through. But what if there was a key that would unlock a different perspective? Sometimes all it takes is a shift in our thinking and everything looks different. Could it be that simple? Let's close our eyes and think to ourselves, I'm ready to see things differently. I'm ready to release my old way of thinking and crack the code. When I open my eyes, I'm going to see things unfold as I listen to new ideas. Now open. So where did everything start to get cloudy, off kilter, and overly complicated? Can you pinpoint that day? That day when 2 and 2 no longer made 4, because your thoughts were so deeply rooted in your own belief system, you just accepted the answer right or wrong. It's hard to land on that very day in our domestication where things just didn't add up. You were born perfectly happy without judgment or bias. As you started to grow, your thoughts, opinions, goals, expectations, and fears were created for you. Your caregivers began to program you with what they knew and what they knew at that time. They decided what you needed when you were upset. They created a reward and denial system to help you understand right from wrong. They built your boundaries to help protect you and taught you how to find love and appreciation while avoiding judgment and rejection. Or at least that was the goal. Don't touch that. It's hot. Get down. You might fall. Stop running. You might get hurt. Don't talk to strangers. Be kind to the elderly. Stand up for yourself. Turn the other cheek. And so on. If I hit someone, I get punished. So hitting people must be bad. If I say please and thank you, I get rewarded. So being polite must be good. They also programmed our goals based on social norms. You must get good grades to get into college. You have to go to college to get a good job. You need a good job to find a partner and get married. You need to have a stable income to have a home. You need to have a good home to start a family. Sound familiar? As little children, our true nature was to love and be happy, to explore and enjoy life. We were completely authentic. But then we learned to be what others thought we should be. And because it's not okay for us to be what we are, we started to pretend to be what we're not. By the time we're teenagers, we've learned to judge ourselves, punish ourselves, and reward ourselves according to the agreements that we never even chose. Now we're stuck and limited by those beliefs. We've made an agreement to believe and protect these ideas at all costs. Wow. We grew up fast, didn't we? What did we bring with us? All of that baggage, all of those beliefs. Now, looking at it in that manner and thinking back to when did we start making decisions on our own? When did we start forming our own opinions? Well, Andrew Blackman, a former Wall Street Journal staffer, unpacks limiting beliefs a little better for us in an article that he wrote for Invado Toots Plus. Self-limiting beliefs are assumptions or perceptions that you've got about yourself and about the way the world works. These assumptions are self-limiting because in some ways they're holding you back from achieving what you're capable of. From a very early age in childhood, we begin to form beliefs about the world and our place in it. Our brains are very good at spotting patterns and making associations, so we constantly process the stream of information about the world around us and use it to form our beliefs. Generally, the purpose of beliefs form as we help understand the world and how to stay safe. As we get older, we start forming more complex beliefs and are able to draw on a much wider range of sources like books, movies, advertisements, and the behavior of our peers. And think about that in a more modern concept. We have opinions all around us all the time. We've talked about it before. You can't even pump gas without getting an advertisement. Someone trying to vie for your attention, pull you to their side, influence you in some way. You can't even walk down the street without seeing signs, some flashing, some in print, some on billboards. We hear it on the TV, on the radio, on the satellite. It's all around us trying to get our attention. Nevertheless, the core beliefs that we formed as young children can be very powerful. And even when we encounter new information or explanations, we often still cling to our own beliefs. Part of the reason for this is we don't like to be wrong. Once we've formed a belief, we tend to look for more evidence to support that belief and to discount contradictory evidence. Aha, I see. See, I was right. See, I was right. How many times have you heard that? Sound familiar? This gives us a stable foundation for understanding a world that would otherwise be very confusing. But it also means that beliefs can be tough to get rid of, even when they're holding us back. But beliefs aren't facts. They may or may not be true or even helpful, but they still can dictate the way we behave in life. If we believe that we're not good enough, we won't put ourselves forward for a promotion. And seeing someone else get promoted ahead of us will just reinforce that same belief. See, I knew I wasn't any good. So beliefs like that are self-limiting. They limit our horizons and hold us back from doing things that we want to do. Anne Morin is a psychotherapist and the author of the best-selling book, 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. I know we're all going to rush out and get that one. Don't you want to know that secret? She recently wrote on this very subject in a piece for Forbes. What you think directly influences how you feel and how you believe. So if you think you're a failure, you'll feel like a failure. Then you'll act like a failure, which reinforces your belief that you must be a failure. Once you draw a conclusion about yourself, you're likely to do two things. Either look for the evidence that reinforces your belief and discount anything that runs contrary to this belief. Someone who develops the belief that he's a failure, for example, will view each mistake as proof that he's not good enough. When he does succeed, he'll just chalk it up to luck. Instead, challenge your conclusions. Take a look at the labels you've placed on yourself. Maybe you've decided you're incompetent, or perhaps you've decided you're a bad leader. Remind yourself that you don't have to allow those beliefs to restrict your potential. Just because you think something doesn't make it true. The good news is you can always change how you think. You can alter your perception and change your life. Here are two ways to challenge your beliefs. First, look for evidence to the contrary. Take note of the times when your beliefs weren't reinforced. Acknowledging exceptions to the rule will remind you that your belief isn't always true. Challenge your beliefs. Perform behavioral experiments that test how you truly believe things are. If you think you're not good enough, do something that helps you feel worthy. If you've labeled yourself too wimpy to step outside your comfort zone, force yourself to do something that feels uncomfortable. It's important to challenge these beliefs. So many times we just stick them in our pocket, put them on our heart, and we just walk around with them as if it is who we are. It defines us. We let that little shell of belief system really cloud us from seeing anything outside of that bubble. If you thought, well, I can only draw stick figures. I'm no artist. When is the last time you challenged that? Have you gone back in and tried to draw anything? Have you taken a class? If you don't meet people easily, where did you come up with that idea? Have you put yourself in the right situation to meet people, or did you draw that conclusion from a time when it was really, really difficult and chaotic and you couldn't meet people? Challenge those beliefs. Peel back that layer of understanding and dig for the truth. You're evolving every day. So what you might have thought about yourself growing up is not going to be the same today. You're a different person. So now we have a better understanding of how we got here. So how can we crack this code and make happiness a reality? How can we get back to that fun-loving child? You know, the one that thinks everything is possible. We have to adopt a new way of thinking and make some new agreements with ourselves. I recently read and or listened to a book by Don Miguel Ruiz called The Four Agreements, and I found myself in an aha moment. I've always said you learn by trial and tribulation or by awakening. Obviously, awakening is much more fun, but it generally happens later in life. And it's often followed by statements like, man, I wish I would have learned that earlier, or why in the world did it take me so long to get here? See, most of the time, an awakening is a simple twist on perception that challenges everything you knew to be true and sheds light on a new way of thinking. And I feel a little ridiculous because this book has been out for a very long time. It has been on the New York Times bestseller for over a decade. There's 8.5 million copies sold in the U.S., and it's translated in 46 languages worldwide. How am I just coming across this right now? Has my head been under a rock? That's how preoccupied we can be with ridiculous things. How did I miss this? Even Oprah Winfrey said, this book by Don Miguel Ruiz, simple yet so powerful, has made a tremendous difference in how I think and act in every encounter. Okay, need I say more? Oprah has endorsed it. The Four Agreements. Well, let me tell you why I actually stumbled upon it. I've decided that I need to read more thought-provoking books. I have limited free time, so I don't have that pull to get lost in fiction. But I would like to spend that time challenging myself with some new ideas. I've been a subscriber to Audible for some time, and I was attempting to work through some pretty large books. All the while, my credits were adding up. Now, Audible is great. It's fun to hear from the actual author, and in some cases, they even add like musical elements and sound effects. They're really good at bringing a book to life. But lately, I've been craving the written word. My eyes have been in that scanning mode. You know what I'm talking about? That scanning mode for almost two decades. And it's starting to wear on my ability to concentrate. So I decided touching a book, stringing sentences together was important. But I have 9 credits. Before I canceled my Audible subscription to make this leap into print, I loaded up my library with all my leftover credits. Because that's just a hint. You can cancel Audible, but you'll lose your credits. So word to the wise. So during this self-help grab, I ran across the Four Agreements. So yes, in this case, I did listen to it. I have referenced Don Miguel Ruiz plenty of times and thought this would be a chance to dig a little deeper into his work. The audiobook is a little over 2 hours, and the printed book is only 138 pages. A testimony to this simplified perspective. Everything we do is based on agreements we've made. Agreements with ourselves, with other people, with God, with life. But the most important agreements are the ones we make with ourselves. And he describes four in this book. And we're going to go through them. I bet you, you could see that coming, right? So the four agreements are: be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions, and always do your best. Words to live by. So let's dig a little bit deeper. The four agreements offer a powerful code of conduct that can rapidly transform our lives to a new experience of freedom, true happiness, and love. And here's how. First of all, be impeccable with your word. Impeccability of the word is so important because the word is you, the messenger. The word is all about the message you deliver, not just to everyone and everything around you, but the message you deliver to yourself. What you say has the power to greatly impact or destroy those around you and yourself. As we learned early, telling a child they aren't good enough can have a long-lasting and self-limiting impact throughout all of childhood and into adulthood. If the person never challenges that belief, they will walk through life never feeling good enough. If negative self-talk is part of your dialogue, you can tell yourself that you aren't good enough, smart enough, or strong enough, damaging the way you see yourself and robbing you of happiness. But you can also be kind and lift yourself up. Your happiness is up to you, and it depends on how you use the word. If you get angry and use the word to send out emotional poison to someone else, it appears that you're using the word against that person, but actually, you're using the word against yourself. The action is going to create a reaction, and that person is going to have that reaction against you. If you insult someone, that person may even harm you in response. You are the creator of your own life story. If you use the word impeccably, just imagine the story that you're going to create for yourself. You're going to use the word in the direction of truth and love for yourself. You're going to use the word to express the truth in every thought, in every action, in every word you use to describe yourself, to describe your own life story. And what will be the result? An extraordinarily beautiful life. In other words, you're going to be happy. You have the power to create love and to spread love through your words, your actions, and your energy. In a world where you may feel weak and helpless to bring about change, remember this power. It's powerful. This power can be used for good, and it can just as easily be used for bad by sending out hate, judgment, and negative energy. Think about how easy it is to get pulled into a gossiping situation, judging others and making assumptions that support your claims. You have the power to walk away and not participate, protecting yourself and rejecting negativity. This is the spoken word. This is also the printed word. What you feed your consciousness is up to you. If you're impeccable with your word and what comes out of you is held to that standard, what goes into you, into your mind, needs to be that same high standard. Elevate that word. So the second agreement, don't take anything personally. Whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. Nothing other people do is because of you. I'm going to say that again. Nothing other people do is because of you. It's because of themselves. All people live in their own dream, in their own mind. They are in completely different worlds from the one that we live in. When we take something personally, we make the assumption that they know what's in our world, and we try to impose our world on their world. Even when a situation seems so personal, even if others insult you directly, it has nothing to do with you. What they say, what they do, and their opinions they give are according to the agreements they have in their own minds. Taking things personally makes you easy prey for the predators. They can hook you so easily with one little opinion and feed you whatever poison they want. And because you take it personally, you eat it up. Now, as a people pleaser, I find this much harder than it sounds. I take everything personally because I feel directly responsible for other people's comfort and happiness. I know that sounds ridiculous. But I have worked through a lot of that with a considerable amount of research and practice, but it's still a knee jerk. Someone's in a bad mood and my mind wants to go to, what did I do? Someone doesn't show me the attention or the amount of attention I feel I deserve or want, and my mind goes to, what did I do? I know it sounds ridiculous to think that I'm in that kind of control, or that everyone's problems have or has something to do with me. When I heard this agreement, I imagined myself floating over a scene, looking down and watching it all play out. I think it was my way of pulling myself out of the direct line of fire and getting a more global view. And it really helped. It also helps me to imagine everyone as an adult with the same life skills that I have. Everyone is capable of living their life and, good or bad, making their own decisions. And guess what? It doesn't directly affect me. I'm living my life too. Remember growing up hearing, I'm rubber, you're glue, your words bounce off me and stick on you? Well, if it were just that easy, right? Getting back to that level of disregard starts with a healthy self-concept and self-love, which can be found in agreement one. Be kind to yourself. And getting back to your true nature, to love and be happy and to explore and enjoy life, being completely authentic. When we have a high regard for ourselves, it's easier to cast off negative attacks and not take anything personally. As you make a habit of not taking things personally, you won't need to place your trust in what others do or say. You will only need to trust yourself to make responsible choices. You are never responsible for the actions of others. You are only responsible for you. When you truly understand this and refuse to take things personally, you can hardly be hurt by the careless comments or actions of others. If you keep this agreement, you can travel around the world with your heart completely open and no one can hurt you. You can say, I love you without fear of being ridiculed or rejected. You can ask for what you need. Agreement number three, don't make assumptions. Are you aware that almost everything you tell yourself is an assumption? Humans have a powerful imagination, very powerful, and there are so many ideas and stories we can imagine. We listen to the symbols talking in our head. We start imagining what other people are doing, what they're thinking, what they're saying about us, and we dream things up in our imagination. We invent a whole story that's only truth for us, but we believe it. One assumption leads to another assumption. We jump to conclusions and we take our story very personally. Then we blame others. And we usually start gossiping to try to justify our assumptions. Of course, by gossiping, a distorted message becomes even more distorted. Not taking anything personally gives you immunity to the interaction that you have with other people. And not making assumption gives you the immunity in the interaction that you have with yourself, with your voice of knowledge, or what we call our thinking. How many times have you started a story and then you end that story with your own assumptions of what probably happened or could have happened? Before you know it, that story, right or wrong, that's the story, right? I'm sticking to it. That's what I know to be true. You tell the story and then others add their own assumptions. And then before you know it, we aren't even talking about the same event. And it's not even a real event. Just as you are making those assumptions, so are others making those assumptions about you. Imagine what they might be saying because they don't have all the facts. How easily a story can be twisted in a negative way with only assumptions to go on. As you practice being impeccable with your word and not making assumptions, stop the story where the facts end. I was told this one time, and what an awakening. Just be okay with not knowing the end of the story. Can you do that? As humans, that can be a challenge. We have to have a complete story to tell. The problem is, we don't always use the rosiest of endings, right? Making assumptions is all about thinking. We think too much. And thinking leads to assumptions. Just thinking what if can create a huge drama in our lives. Every human can think a lot, and thinking brings fear. We have no control over that thinking, all those symbols that we distort in our head. If we just stop thinking, we no longer try to explain anything to ourselves, and this keeps us from forming and making assumptions. If we don't make assumptions, we can focus our attention on the truth, not on what we think is true. Then we see life the way it is and not the way we want to see it. When we don't believe our own assumptions, the power of our belief that we've invested in them returns to us. And then we recover all the energy that we invested in making assumptions. We can use that energy to create a new dream, our own personal heaven. The fourth agreement. I love this agreement. Always do your best. Under any circumstances, always do your best. No more, no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from moment to moment. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. When you wake up refreshed and energized in the morning, your best will be better than when you're tired at night. Your best will be different when you're healthy as opposed to sick. It will depend on whether you're feeling wonderful and happy or angry and upset. In everyday moods, your best can change from one moment to another, from one hour to the next, from one day to the other. Your best will also change over time, but keep doing your best, no more or no less than your best. If you try too hard to do more than your best, you'll spend more energy than's needed. And in the end, your best will not be enough. When you overdo, you deplete your body. And you go against yourself, and it will take you longer to accomplish your goal. What a beautiful concept that can actually take a lot of unnecessary pressure off. Just do your best. Not sure if you're good enough? Just do your best. Worried you can't complete the task? Just do your best. Not sure if you're going to win? just do your best. Giving your best, no matter how much you have to give at that moment, is all you can realistically do. If you give your best, you can have that peace of mind knowing that you did the best you could at that moment. What a freeing feeling. I've always used this philosophy when talking about failure. If you did your best and you still failed, then you can walk away knowing you did everything possible. If you didn't give your best, then you left the door open for some self-doubt. In this fast-paced world where the perception is bigger, better, faster, stronger, it's easy to buy into the unrealistic pursuit of perfection. I hear it all the time. I'm hard on myself because I want everything to be perfect. I'm not satisfied until it's perfect. But perfect is impossible. No one is perfect. When you're always striving to be perfect and forever coming up short, you're at risk for a whole host of issues from depression to anxiety and on. Perfectionism can drive ourselves to unrealistic goals and expectations, and also to procrastination. Until I can do it perfectly, I'm just not going to do it at all. What if you just had to do your best? Not feeling it today? Just do your best. Not sure you know much about it? It's okay. Just do your best. If you just do your best, there is no way you can judge yourself. And if you don't judge yourself, there's no way that you're going to suffer from guilt, blame, and self-punishment. If you've done your best and your inner judge tries to judge you, you've got the answer. I did my best. There are no regrets. That's why we always do our best. It's not an easy agreement to keep, but this agreement is really going to set you free. By doing your best, the habits of misusing your word, taking things personally, and making assumptions will become weaker and less frequent with time. But don't expect that you will always be able to be impeccable with your word. Your routine, your habits are too strong and firmly rooted in your mind. Just do your best. Don't expect that you will never take anything personally. But you can do your best. Don't expect that you will never make assumptions. But you can certainly do your best. If you break an agreement, begin again tomorrow and again the next day. It will be difficult at first, but each day it will become easier and easier until someday you'll discover that you are ruling your life with the four agreements, and you will be surprised at the way your life has been transformed. The four agreements. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. And always do your best. What an amazing book, and so simple. I wanted to pass it on to you because I can't believe it's taken me this long to figure it out. I'm going to turn around and apply these in my life. I hope you do too. So I challenge you, revisit ideas and beliefs that may no longer serve you. Challenge their place and purpose in your life. Sometimes a slight shift of perception can open up a new world where peace and happiness are in reach. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. Summer through until the path was clear.